Right now, I have with me David Tyree with Piney Grove Farm in Vinemont, Alabama.
Thanks, Mark. It's good to be with you. At Piney Grove Farm, we offer black Angus beef raised all naturally. Our cattle are grass-fed, grain-finished. We'd love for you to come try some. Our market is located at 5814 County Road 1141, Vinemont, Alabama, and we're open on Fridays from 9 to 5. You can also give us a call at 256-339-4612.
That's Piney Grove Farm, located in Vinemont, Alabama. Find them on Facebook at Piney Grove Farm and give them a try. Whether you're new to aviation or an experienced pilot looking to advance your skills, Go Vertical Aviation has you covered. With an excellent learning atmosphere and a staff committed to excellence in education, Go Vertical Aviation will customize a learning program just for you. For more information, go to goverticalaviation.com or call 256-412-5226. Be sure to follow Go Vertical Aviation on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Don't just go. Go Vertical.
Boutique Air in Muscle Shoals, Alabama offers direct flights to Atlanta, Nashville, and Pensacola. Boutique Air service runs twice daily, 7 days a week, with fares starting at $59. Follow Boutique Air Muscle Shoals on Facebook at Boutique Air MSL and book your flight through BoutiqueAir.com. Boutique Air.
Where you can fly private for the cost of commercial.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers. My wife and I sat down with Harlan Mitchell and discussed our own estate planning needs. I know in our experience, Harlan brought up questions that caused us to think about our current situation and what we need to do moving forward. When you sit down with Harlan for your free consultation, you're going to find out things that you may have not thought about when it comes to estate planning. I encourage you to go to BamaEstatePlanning.com or give Harlan Mitchell a call at 256-216-9884 and schedule your free consultation today.
Would you like enhanced energy, better moods, less fatigue, help with allergies, better sleep, mental clarity, or just want improvement of your overall immune health and well-being? Do you need to recover from intense activities, workouts, or sports? Then IV therapy at the Drip Factor inside Trinity Medical Center is right for you. Our IV drips are filled with nutrients, vitamins, and minerals that will help your body replenish, restore, and achieve your wellness goals. For more information, visit trinity-medicalcare.com and schedule your appointment today at Trinity Medical Center, located at 500 Governor Drive.
Experience the difference at Athens Bible School. The vision and purpose is to provide each student a quality education in a Christ-centered environment to develop the whole person spiritually, mentally, physically, and socially in safe and supportive surroundings. The solid biblical foundation permeates learning and culture in the classrooms and every extracurricular activity.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark Wyatt Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
Hey y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference. Somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark Wyatt Show.
Hi, this is Maggie Peterson. I played Charlene Darling on The Andy Griffith Show, and you are listening to The Mark Wyatt Show.
Hi, folks. This is Ricky Skaggs, and you're listening to The Mark Wyatt Show.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark Wyatt Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark Wyatt Show. My daddy is your host, Mark Wyatt. Something good
today. Welcome to a Friday edition of The Mark Wyatt Show. I am your host, Mark Wyatt, and right now I have on the line with me James Craigmile. If you've watched Live PD, you would know him from that program and his canine efforts with the Greene County Sheriff's Department. Now, I believe that's in Missouri, right?
Yes, sir, it is.
Well, welcome to the Mark Wyatt Show, James.
Thanks for having me on. It's my honor and pleasure to be talking to you this morning.
Glad to have you. And I did try to look up a little bit about James Craigmile and what you've done, and the efforts that really stand out to me, of course, are your canine efforts, but also being in the schools and being able to talk to students and interact with them. I know from my own personal experience having a canine department where I've worked before that those kids really gravitate towards that animal.
They do. You know, I've always said my entire career, I actually started out wanting to be in canine whenever I was in sixth grade. We had the DARE program. There was a DARE officer, Lenny Frank. I'll never forget his name. He had a canine that he brought, and I thought, you know, that's really cool. I love dogs. I love what law enforcement does, protecting and serving the community. And that's what I want to do whenever I grow up. And I was fortunate enough to follow my dream and my career. And once I became a canine handler, I realized how vital dogs are to society. For everybody, it doesn't matter if you're walking on the right side or the wrong side of the law. Everybody loves dogs. And what an amazing way to bridge that gap in the community than with a canine. I've watched it and I've seen it several times over. There was one incident on live PD where we had made a traffic stop on a guy and had arrested him for meth in a residential neighborhood. And literally 20 feet from where we were arresting this guy, and it was kind of odd, but I'm not going to knock him because they were trying to make some money for a good cause. There was a little lemonade stand right across the street, 20 feet from there. And I was able to take my canine partner over there and go from a really horrible situation that these kids were witnessing firsthand, witnessing me pulling drugs out of this guy's car and putting this guy in handcuffs, which can be traumatizing to some people that have never seen it before, to being able to go over and make a good positive impact in those kids' lives. I just think that a good canine team can bridge that gap. And it's just, it's amazing to see it happen. I've been a certified law enforcement canine instructor for probably 4 or 5 years now. And I've had my fair share of times driving to various places in the United States, testing dogs and selecting dogs from different vendors all over. And, you know, it's a little bit different than going to the dog pound or having your shepherd at home and saying, okay, we're going to go find a bad guy, or we're going to go find drugs, or we're going to go make an impact in people's lives. So, yeah, it's a little bit different, but it's a rewarding career. It's great. I love being able to go out there and make an impact in the youth of our community because they are our future. And unfortunately, a lot of parents right nowadays, they're not raising the kids the way that we were raised back in, you know, the 60s, 70s, 80s, even the early 90s. Kids are being raised differently, and I think that that really plays a role in today's society because there's not a single child that's born with hate in their heart. Hate is a taught entity in their life. And if the parents would stop teaching hate, if the parents would stop teaching the racism or the sexism, I think this world would be a different place. And that's where, fortunately, law enforcement comes in, because we go into hundreds of thousands of people's homes in our career. And we talk to people of every walk of life, every race, every sex, every age, no matter what's going on in their life, we talk to them. So we have probably one of the biggest impacts of people's lives, than anybody else. And I think that we have a duty to help mold and shape our community and being the best that we can be for them. Yes, we do have to go out. We do have to arrest people. We do have to, make some split second decisions, as you know. But there's more to it than just arresting people and taking them to jail.
Speaking of being molded, you are a Missouri guy. Just about a week and a half ago, we were in Mansfield, Missouri, and I took my daughter to the Laura Ingalls Wilder Historic Home and Museum, and then also yep. went over to Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company and did an interview there. And really had an enjoyable trip. Well, my aunt and uncle, they were from Ava, Missouri, and so you're probably familiar with that area as well.
I am, yes. Yeah, my grandparents, back in the 50s, my grandparents, my grandpa and his two brothers, started a show called The Ball Knobber Show in Branson, Missouri. And they were entertaining local fishermen whenever they would go out and fish out on the lakes and Lake Penicomo. And then they moved to an old bowling alley, and then they helped with Shepherd of the Hills play down here, and they started the first show down here. My grandfather was a comedian, so I was born into the entertainment world. They would travel whenever they saved up their money. They moved to 76 Highway Boulevard, and they entertained people for years and years, and they're still in business entertaining people. So I got to learn a lot about the places that they would visit. And, man, Ava, they've even been down to Birmingham, all the way out to Oklahoma, to Texas, to Illinois, you name it, they've been there. And, it was really neat visiting all these towns and and getting to know these people, and it was a fun experience.
Well, and you're speaking of family members and your background there, who would you say impacted you to have a desire to serve, the first thing, because it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to become a police officer because you have people who say, you know, this is how we live, this is how you need to act as a person, this is how you be a role model, this is how you have character. Who are the people that help to develop that in you to want to serve our communities?
You know, I didn't have anybody in my family that was in law enforcement, but my family, it sounds like I grew up much like you. My family was either entertainers or they were pastors and preachers. So I grew up learning customer service, learning to entertain people, learning to be nice to people, learning to accept people for who they are and to respect people. And my entire family had a huge role in my upbringing with that, everything from my both sets of my grandparents to my own parents. And, you know, I joined the military right out of high school and went to serve in the Army. And whenever I decided that I was going to leave the service, I went from active duty to the reserves. I needed a job. And there was a highway patrolman at the time that I grew up knowing, Jack Merritt, and he retired from the highway patrol and became the sheriff at Greene County. So I got a hold of Jack whenever I left active duty, and he offered me a job in the jail. So that's really where I started my service. I knew that I wanted to do something in law enforcement. I just didn't know what. I knew that I wanted to do canine. I just didn't know how. So it took several years to get a canine program at Greene County Sheriff's Office. So I was actually in on the ground floor of the canine unit, the first canine unit at Greene County.
I've had people that have asked me, especially young people that have asked me about being a law enforcement officer after they knew that I was. They expressed interest in being a law enforcement officer, and I've had a challenging time over the past few years of encouraging a young person to do that, and it has changed a lot, I think, especially with technology, social media. I've had a tough time expressing to a young person, yeah, you just need to dive in and become a police officer.
Yeah, it's a little more difficult right now. We certainly are facing an uphill battle in today's society, but you know what? I believe in the end, good is going to overpower and outweigh evil. I think that the devil's playing a part in what's going on, but I think in the end, all of us that have a passion and the desire to want to make a difference in people's lives, I think that we'll prevail in the end. You know, we go from the Ferguson shooting to that really rocked law enforcement, and no matter which side of the fence that you're on, we dug out of that. And then Live PD showed up, and Live PD really changed the way that people perceived law enforcement. You know, we were going from one of the most hated professions out there to everybody was supporting us. Everybody from NFL football, Hollywood movie stars to even the people who were in prison supported us. I had a buddy of mine in high school. He ended up going to jail, and I saw him as he was leaving jail. He actually went to prison and then was leaving the jail. And he said, you know, you were really respected in the prison. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, we watch Live PD in prison. And he said, a lot of the officers on there are actually very respectful to the people that they're dealing with. And he said, that really resonates with those in prison because, you know, not everybody in prison is a bad person. Some have made bad choices. But to sit there and to listen to my friend, who was an African American, talk about, the people that he was in prison with that were watching Live PD and respected us. You know, it goes both ways. If you show a little bit of respect, I think that you get the respect that you deserve. And if people were more mindful of that today and stop the hate and everything, I think that it would be an easier country to serve. Both in the military and law enforcement. And, you know, it's not just law enforcement that gets it. It's the attorneys and doctors and preachers and Walmart personnel and just everybody. And I think society needs to take a turn for the best.
I totally agree with that, James. And I think maybe not having a preconceived notion about an individual before we actually get to know them and meet them, you know, helps a lot, you know, when it comes to that mutual respect and trying to be respectful to a person, especially in a high level stress situation where you're not seeing the person on their best day and they may not be seeing you on your best day either, but to still be able to interact with that person in a respectful way, that goes a long way to improving our relationships in the community.
I agree. You know, there has been several studies, and I'm sure that you're aware of some of these, and they say, and I'll touch on the uniform appearance, an officer that's in a sloppy uniform, somebody that they go to pull over, has less respect for that officer and also sees that officer as somebody who is weak that they could maybe or potentially overcome. And I think that really transposes into the officer as a person, you know, somebody who is going to take care of their uniform, who is going to take pride in what they do, really projects onto the people that we deal with on a daily basis. And the people that we deal with on a daily basis, they look for that respect. They look for that mutual understanding that, hey, this is a job that we're doing. This isn't anything personal. And in my time, I've been through SWAT training. I've been through canine SWAT training. And in my time, chaos breeds chaos that I have learned. And if you go into a situation yelling at somebody or trying to talk over them, chaos breeds chaos. And you get nowhere. Nobody gets anywhere. So whenever you got the people that are screaming and yelling at you and cussing at you and doing everything else, remember, it's nothing personal. The person that you're dealing with, they don't know you as a person. Maybe they do. Maybe you've got that one-off chance that they know you as a person. But it's nothing personal. It's a job. And the person that you're either arresting or dealing with has, for whatever reason, been in a heightened situation because you're there. We don't get called for birthday parties usually. We don't get called because somebody just had a baby and they want to celebrate with us. We get called to houses or to places with people in their worst days or their worst times, whether it's a motor vehicle accident, a domestic, a child that's not listening to the parents. And if you try to out yell, if you try to out talk, if you try to go rise above whatever that person is that you're dealing with, it just breeds chaos and it gets nobody anywhere. So the person or the officer that has a more professional demeanor, and this goes for anybody, it doesn't have to be an officer. It can be a husband and a wife or a child. If you're trying to yell above or trying to physically control a situation that maybe you can't control, you're not going to get anywhere. It's just going to breed chaos.
Right now, folks, we're talking to James Craigmile, and he has a canine named Lore, and they were on Live PD. Some of you may have watched Live PD, and we're talking to James right now. We're going to take a quick break, if it's okay, James, and then come back, and we'll talk some more about your background, some things maybe that you want people to know about you, okay?
Sure.
Folks, I hope you'll stick with us as we continue this conversation with James Craigmile. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
A little wink, a pat on the back, a big old hug, a little laugh. We can make a difference. All we have to do is try. Every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
Whether you're new to aviation or an experienced pilot looking to advance your skills, Go Vertical Aviation has you covered. With an excellent learning atmosphere and a staff committed to excellence in education, Go Vertical Aviation will customize a learning program just for you. For more information, go to goverticalaviation.com or call 256-412-5226. Be sure to follow Go Vertical Aviation on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Don't just go. Go Vertical.
Boutique Air in Muscle Shoals, Alabama offers direct flights to Atlanta, Nashville, and Pensacola. Boutique Air service runs twice daily, 7 days a week, with fares starting at $59. Follow Boutique Air Muscle Shoals on Facebook at Boutique Air MSL and book your flight through BoutiqueAir.com. Boutique Air.
Where you can fly private for the cost of commercial.
The best way to buy, sell, and experience land is with Jonathan Berryhill. For your farm, ranch, recreational, hunting, timber, and acreage needs, contact National Land Realty Professional Jonathan Berryhill at 256-874-7354 or email at jberryhill@nationalland.com. Be sure to follow Jonathan Berryhill with National Land Realty on Facebook. This is your land.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers.
Losing a loved one is hard, but losing a loved one and not having an estate plan is even harder. Attorney Harlan Mitchell witnessed what not having an estate plan can do to families and decided to use his experience to do something about it. I encourage you to go to BamaEstatePlanning.com or give Harlan Mitchell a call at 256-216-9884. Again, that website is BamaEstatePlanning.com. Let Harlan Mitchell help you with estate planning. Do it for those you love and do it today.
He's got a cold. Nothing to worry about.
Just need a couple of stitches.
Your COVID rapid test is negative.
Oh boy, x-ray shows it's broken.
Trust Trinity Medical Care when you need urgent care or routine medical care. Walk-ins are welcome, or let Trinity help you virtually with telemedicine. Visit trinity-medicalcare.com for more information and follow them on Facebook. Trinity Medical Care, where your care comes first. Located on Governor's Drive and South Parkway.
Hey everybody, this is Paul Overstreet, and you are listening to The Mark White Show. Stay tuned, because Mark is doing some things on his show that's helping his community and uplifting people, so you stay with him.
Drives into the city, works extra hard all day, finishes up early, so he can get away. Blue-eyed kid on second base wants dad to watch him play.
Welcome back to another edition of the Mark White Show. I'm so glad that you all could join us today as we talk to James Craigmile from Live PD. This has been an interesting conversation. Of course, many of you know that I'm a former law enforcement officer, and I do like to spend my time trying to recognize those who are serving our communities, especially when it comes to some of the challenges that they face. And just to say, keep going, keep working hard, keep doing what you're doing. James addressed it, our appearance. Make sure that you're as sharp as you can be out there in our communities. And I do want to give a shout out to our law enforcement officers, our first responders, and the Mark White Show's in your corner. And I know that you're in their corner too, James.
I am, absolutely. You know, we can't let evil prevail. We will prevail, and as a country, as a world, I think that we need to rally around each other and support each other instead of continuing the divide. And I think once we can get that going, this world will be a much better place. But yeah, I think all of the law enforcement, EMS, first responders, our military personnel, everybody that is on the front lines happening, you know, I watched yesterday as we had everybody rallying together down in Miami for that building that collapsed. And you have everybody from search and rescue dogs to law enforcement, to firefighters, to EMS, to doctors. You have everybody rallying together to help those unfortunate people that were in that building. And that's what the world needs, is we need to rally around each other.
You know, one of the things I think about as we talk about this is animals do tend to bring people together. And there is a really large community of dog lovers, and you have used your experience as a certified international canine trainer and over a decade of experience to help not only law enforcement when it comes to canine work, but also civilians as well.
Yes. Yeah. I actually, I've been training dogs since 2009. I've been an international canine handler since 2011. And then I ended up getting my law enforcement canine instructor certification back in 2016, 2017, somewhere around there. And here recently, especially with COVID, we were all locked down in our homes. And what I started seeing is a lot of these dogs that were locked in their homes with their owners, they had no socialization. And without a dog that has socialization, the dog just goes crazy, because you got to figure, if you take a puppy and you keep it isolated in a home and it doesn't get to see the sights, sounds, and smells of the big world out there, they're nervous. They're apprehensive. So we call those, I don't know who coined the term, but I coined the term myself for COVID dogs, because they've been stuck inside during COVID. And we've got to get those dogs immersed in the world. We've got to take them to Lowe's or Home Depot or to Sonic for an ice cream or Andy's Frozen Custard, or take them to a pet store. And we've got to get them immersed around people, around sights, around sounds, because let's face it, everybody in the United States, everybody in the world, because I'm training dogs in all over the world. I'm training dogs in the UK and Mexico and Canada. So let's face it, all of these dogs in the world, people love them and they want to take them with them. They want to take them to their socializations, to their gatherings, to the park. And you can't take your dog there whenever your dog isn't listening or they're going crazy. So how do we fix that? I really sat down and I delved into my dog training and the dog psychology. And that's one thing that I teach is dog psychology as well. And understanding how we can get the dogs comfortable to being in those situations. Whether it's a rescue dog that has been chained up in its backyard for 7 years that I've been training for the past 3 weeks, or a brand new puppy, we can fix it. Dogs are motivated. It will take time. It will take patience. But with the right tools, the right knowledge, the right motivation, and the right timing, you can change a dog. And that's what I do. I do it in person. If they're local here to Springfield, Missouri, or if they want to drive down. I've had people from all the way from Denver, Colorado, that have driven all the way to Springfield, Missouri, just to go through training with me. But I also do it online as well. I do online Zoom training live from my living room to your living room or wherever you want to be. And I have been successful at training dogs. I'm actually training in 10 states now live online.
And to think back to that young man that wanted to be a canine officer and had an interest in that, as we think about finding our passion and what we want to do, when we find that passion, we want to keep climbing and we want to see where it can go, because we know we have something that the world needs to hear and needs to know. And I believe that that's something that you have found through your service as a canine officer and now being able to train. What is your vision, James? What is it that you really want to do in your heart of hearts to take your knowledge and experience to the world?
Yeah, you know, I have started the vision, and nothing just is automatic overnight. So my desire would be to eventually, you know, whether it's to get sponsors to do it or to just save up my money, which I'm doing through my dog training, eventually I would love to get a motorhome, travel around the United States and train dogs. I've always thought, you know, we've got 50 states out there. Pick a state, stay there for a month. Pick two different cities in that state, be there for a couple of weeks, and just invite people to dog training. Just train in the city where they live, train in their environment, because, you know, Canada is different than Missouri, and Washington's different than Florida, and New York is different than Arizona. So I really want to immerse myself in their community and get the dogs acclimated to the atmosphere, to the environment, to the sights and sounds of where they live, where they're going to be. And, you know, I would love, I've watched a lot of Cesar Millan stuff. I know his background. And I would love to eventually do something like what he did and start training, dogs and let the world see it. You know, maybe Netflix will pick it up, or maybe Amazon will pick it up, or whoever, and show the raw, unedited way of training dogs. Because a lot of people, they'll go in and they'll cut and they'll pull away because they want to keep all that stuff close to their heart, because they don't want people to see, because, I mean, that is how they make a living. I get it. But you also don't want everything to be a mystery. There are some things that you want to keep to yourself, maybe because you want to advance yourself or whatever. But I'm all about training the human as well as the dog.
Well, and it's always about that next generation to me, James. If somebody came up to me and asked me about being in radio, and I mentioned about those who would come about being in law enforcement, you know, I do want to try to encourage where I can and show people what they can do. Of course, it took me 20 years of being a law enforcement officer, tourism director, tortilla maker, a restaurant owner, to get to the point where I could speak to someone like yourself or anybody for that matter and be able to get on a level where we can have a conversation. And so it's not an easy task, just like you learning all that you did about canine handling and the experiences you have. It takes time. But if we do take time with people and at least show them a couple of steps to head in the right direction, and when maybe they get a little discouraged, a little down, that we can have an encouraging word for them, I believe that next generation will be the key, what we can pass on to people, because we're not going to be here forever.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. You know, the youth is our future, and, you know, they're growing up in a different world than what you and I did with social media. I've always said social media can help us or can hurt us. I think it's a useful tool to reach people quickly, and sometimes it's not the most effective way, though, because it has pushed people, the media or individuals, to want to get it out there first. They want to have that first showing of it, and they want to get those million viewers, or, you know, they want to be the one that says, "Hey, look at me! I was the first one to do that. I was the first one to spill that video footage or to spill that information." And, you know, we might not have the entire context of what went on, whether it's involving law enforcement, whether it's involving a relationship status or a family status or maybe an accident or whatever the case might be. We've got to slow down as a society, and we've got to think about the ramifications of what we're doing. And is this going to be more hurtful by not giving the entirety of everything that's going on? Because it's easy to take a clip and cut it down into 30 seconds. So I think that we're doing our children a disservice by doing that. I think that we need to show our kids the thoroughness that needs to be involved, whether it's in school, on learning basic core classes, to doing investigations in law enforcement, to working on somebody in a hospital setting, to training dogs, to flying airplanes, whatever it is. I think that the kids deserve, and today's society deserves, to see everything in the entirety.
I totally agree. And on your discussion about social media, I was addressing the other day to an individual that this show is the Mark White Show. It's not the What Happened Show. And so when I do cover news, I covered tragedy for a long time. I took the reports. I testified in court. I was the person who was working those cases. I had to know the facts and the details. When it comes to what I do today, if there's a tragedy that happens, what I'm looking for are the helpers. It's kind of like Mr. Rogers when he said, "Look for the helpers." That's what I do. I want to see, where's the fundraiser? Where are people organizing right now to help provide a solution to this problem? And that's where I feel like I serve in my community, is to find solutions rather than, say, taking pictures of a traffic accident and blowing it up on social media. Rather, there are some folks right now who are struggling. They need help with funeral expenses, or they need help with clothing items, and be there to support that end of things.
I completely agree. You know, and that's one thing that I want to do with my canine business. I started Craig Mile Canine Training, and it's just the letter K and the number 9. I don't spell it out C-A-N-I-N-E. And I do that because in law enforcement, we use the K and the 9. And that's one thing that I want to do with my business. I started, I partnered with a local company here in Republic, Missouri, called Cracker Jack Shack. And they make these spirit stores for me, and they're open for a couple of weeks and then they close. And I've started selling shirts through that. I just had a 4th of July shirt that I made up, and it's an American flag. I'm getting ready to post it on my social media pages, the process that it took this company to print my shirt. But what I want to eventually do is, once I get enough money to be able to sustain myself, I want to start giving back. If I don't take care of myself first, I won't be able to give back to anybody. I won't be able to do anything.
That's so right.
You know, and I'm not looking to become a millionaire. I'm looking to live a life that I'm comfortable, that I can give back to the community. And I want to start giving back to you know, breast cancer awareness. And I want to start giving back to the veterans, and I want to start giving back to the dog shelters out there and the no-kill shelters to help these dogs, because I'm a huge proponent in the reason the dogs are in those shelters. The reason those dogs are dumped on the sides of the road is because the dogs, they don't know behavior. They don't know obedience. They don't know not to use a restroom in the house. And unless they're taught, unless the dogs are trained, and unless that human is taught or trained how to fix these issues or address these issues, they just get rid of the dog. They're like, hey, I can't take care of this dog. He keeps chewing the leg on my couch. Hey, this dog keeps peeing on my floor. I can't replace carpet. Or the other unfortunate thing is, hey, I can't afford this dog anymore. So I want to be able to, through Craig Mile Canine Training, give back to those no-kill shelters, give back to the community, and to help out with these dogs, because it's unfortunate. The dogs, they don't speak, and unless you understand their language, you don't get it. And it's easy to toss a dog out on the street. It's not as easy to toss a kid. So they toss the dog first. And, you know, there are unfortunately some children that are adopted out, and I have a huge passion for dogs as well as kids, and I just want to make sure that our dogs that don't have a voice are taken care of as well.
Well, James, it's not like taking over John Snyder's Facebook, but here's your chance to talk to Mark White Show listeners and tell them how you want them to follow you, what you want them to do. We have Craig Mile CanineTraining.com. That's Craig Mile CanineTraining.com. And I want people to go there, but then on social media and other places, how do you want people to follow you, James?
Yeah, so I have an Instagram, I have a Facebook, I have a Twitter, I have a TikTok, and I have Venmo. And I post my videos. So I will take videos. I've been working with this dog. He's a 7-year-old dog named Emmy. And he was chained up in his backyard his entire life, all 7 years, to a metal chain. He chewed tried chewing through the metal chain and ground his teeth down. So he was put with a local organization, Rescue One, here in Springfield, and they adopted him out, and the owner got a hold of me of him now, and she says, hey, I'm having problems. He won't walk on slick floors. He's not eating. He won't listen. He won't do this. He won't do that. The sweetest dog you'll ever meet, Mark. This dog is just precious. So I got a hold of Hemi, and we have been through 3 sessions now, and I videotape, or I record on my cell phone, our progress. And I post it on my social media pages for people to see. And I post it on there for several reasons. I post it to show the progress of Hemi, because people genuinely care. They're genuinely concerned. I've got messages from all over the world on my social media pages watching the progress of him. And they're like, oh, what's the update? What's next? What's next? What's next? And I think that's where the Amazon or Netflix show would come in well, because they could show that progress and I could reach a bigger, broader audience. But yes, James Craig Mile is CraigMyle. That's my handle, my name, my tagger, whatever you want to call it, on Instagram, on Facebook. My Facebook page, it's got a picture of Val Kilmer and I. My Instagram and my Twitter page is a picture, I think, of myself, maybe my patrol dog. TikTok, I think, is just a picture of myself. And I'm verified on Instagram and Twitter, so you can't miss who I am. I got the check mark. I'm working on getting verified on Facebook, if anybody can make that happen. And if anybody can make it happen on TikTok, I'm still learning these videos and how to piece these videos together, but it's slowly working out. So, yes, and my website, Craig Mile, and it's CraigMyle, the letter K, the number 9, training.com, CraigMileCanineTraining.com. And I've got videos on there they can see. I am, and I'll give myself a little plug here, I am probably the cheapest canine handler in the entire United States right now. I've gotten some messages, some canine trainers are upset because I'm not charging what they do, because I don't charge the industry standard, but I'm not part of the industry standard. I am part of making sure that dogs are not abandoned on the streets or put in these shelters to where they're going to be euthanized in a couple of weeks. I am all about making sure that practically any family can afford this training. They'll get good training, because we not only just do basic, we do advanced, we do off leash, I do dog aggression, it's behavior modification. And I don't just teach the dog, I train the human, because if I'm not there in 3 or 4 years, I want you to be able to go back and say, oh yeah, James taught me, James said this, or James said, I've seen that before. Let me reach out to James in 3 or 4 years, and I've got this issue, and James will be able to answer it for me. because that's what I do. I don't charge you every time that you have a question or every time that you need something answered. I'll try to answer it and try to make a difference. So I teach you the dog psychology, the reason the dog's doing it, the reason that I'm asking you to ask the dog to do this, and why I'm teaching you how to do it this way.
And James, I'm not trying to throw you off here, but I'm going to take a complete 180. And you mentioned breast cancer is something you were interested in trying to help in the future. I've had a couple of shows actually over the past couple of days. One was with Kelly Lang. She's married to T.G. Shepherd, and Kelly went through breast cancer and she wrote a song, I'm Not Going Anywhere. And the song was picked up by Ascension Hospitals across the country as part of their national campaign. And then
that is awesome.
Just this morning, I had Dawn Compton on the program, and she has Blessing Box Project. And she herself went through breast cancer, and she started this organization to send gifts to women who are going through their breast cancer journey, and it's things that help them after surgery. What is your interest there in breast cancer awareness?
Yeah, my grandma and two of my aunts, my dad's side, my dad had 8 brothers and sisters total. My grandma had 9 kids, and my grandma ended up having double breast cancer. And so did 2 of my aunts. So that's pretty close, near and dear to my heart. And my uncle, he ended up having prostate cancer, and he passed away from it. Luckily, my grandma, who is 92, she's still living. She has been cancer-free now for probably 14, 15 years. And my aunts have been cancer-free now for probably 10 years or more. So very blessed for the doctors and science and everything to help keep them around, because as I told you in the beginning, my grandparents were a vital role in my upbringing and teaching morals and values and respect and everything. And she's my last grandparent that I have that's still living. So I am huge because I see cancer. Cancer affects everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. Cancer affects every family member. Everybody has gone through it, whether you've had the cancer or it's affected your family member. And I just think that, you know, with COVID, seeing how quickly we were to come up with these vaccinations for COVID, surely if we can just rally together and figure out a way. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. If I were, man, that's all I'd be doing, is trying to figure out how to eliminate cancer so that we can keep our loved ones around just a little bit longer. So that's where I'm very passionate. A friend of mine, doctor, he's a colorectal doctor, and I talk to him a lot, and I'm passionate about that and giving back. And you know, it's everything, brain cancer, you name it. But breast cancer is one of the big ones because my family has been affected by it.
So I knew there was something to that, but I just wanted to make sure you had an opportunity to share if you had something to share there too. And James, I've really enjoyed this conversation with you today and look forward to having you back on the show. And I hope that you do get some new followers because of the Mark White Show interview today.
Yes, I completely agree. I look forward to being back on the show with you. Who knows? Maybe I can make it down there to Birmingham and talk to some of the students and some of the law enforcement down there. And that is a huge passion of mine, is educating and talking to people and just being immersed in the communities and making a difference in people's lives. And, you know, I've got this acting that I'm not new to. I've been doing since I was 16. I've done modeling and acting and everything with my family, and it has been a passion of mine, and excited to get back into it. I actually have an agent now, a real agent, so I'm excited about that, and a good publicist now, so I'm excited about my publicist that I've got, and I'm just ready to take this career to the next level.
Well, let's just see how we can do that. James Craigmile, it's been a real joy to have you here on the Mark White Show today to share about what you're interested in, your passion when it comes to canines, and I appreciate you joining me here on the Mark White Show today.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time, Mark.
Folks, I want you to go to CraigmileK9Training.com. As James said, that's CraigMyle, the letter K, the number 9, training.com. Check him out on his website. If you need training for your dog, whether you're in law enforcement or not, you can get in touch with James, and also follow him on social media. That's James Craigmile from Live PD. Some of you know him from Live PD. We're so glad that we could have him on the program today. The Mark White Show is here to recognize difference makers and share their stories to encourage and inspire us all. And I hope that if you are encouraged and inspired by this show, that you'll share it with your friends, your neighbors, and your family members. Let them know about The Mark White Show. I encourage you to follow The Mark White Show podcast. Subscribe to the podcast via Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Audio Boom, SoundCloud, Blueberry, YouTube, and TuneIn Radio. You have been listening to a Wednesday edition of The Mark White Show, and this is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today. Who live and love in my hometown. These are my kind of people. Right now I have with me David Tyree with Piney Grove Farm in Vinemont, Alabama.
Thanks, Mark. It's good to be with you. At Piney Grove Farm, we offer Black Angus beef raised all naturally. Our cattle are grass-fed, grain-finished. We'd love for you to come try some. Our market is located at 5814 County Road 1141, Vinemont, Alabama, and we're open on Fridays from 9 to 5. You can also give us a call at 256-339-4612.
That's Piney Grove Farm, located in Vinemont, Alabama. Find them on Facebook at Piney Grove Farm and give them a try. Is it time for a haircut? Go see my friends Philip Butler and B.H. Parker at Southwind Barbershop, located at 1637 Lee Street in Rogersville, Alabama. Give them a call at 256-247-5658. That's 256-247-5658.
If you like hickory smoked ribs that fall apart at the slightest pull, or barbecue shoulders that are so slow smoked each tender bite melts in your mouth, then you are going to love Baby Jack's Barbecue. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett and Arlington. Try the barbecue chicken, beef brisket sandwich, barbecue potato, it is huge, or the Baby Jack Trio, pork, turkey, or beef brisket sliders. You like wet ribs? They like dry ribs. Get one slab that has them both. Catering? Baby Jack's can feed a family or an army. Drive in, drive through, order online, or come in and set a minute. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett at Highway 70 in Appling, or in Arlington at Highway 70, just a block west of 385.
Hello, my name is Christian Martinez. I'm a rising senior at Athens Bible School. My school is great because of the wonderful environment in which students can grow and flourish. We have great academics that include the university preparatory diploma and dual enrollment courses that lead to an associate's degree before high school graduation. All my teachers and the school's employees are Christians who are devoted to the welfare of students. We have an excellent student body, competitive sports program, and study the Bible first thing every day. It's a great place. Please consider joining us at ABS next year, or give that special child in your life the great opportunity I have.
Mr. Cecil Batchelor is the one that started this business as Dependable Service Center. And even though now it's Green's Dependable Hardware and we're a true value store, our tagline is still Your Dependable Service Center. We've tried to keep that alive for all these years. Mr. Batchelor really started a good business. We're really excited to be carrying on a long-standing tradition. It's the oldest retail store in the city of Russellville. We're Green's Dependable Hardware, 15220A Highway 43 in Russellville, Alabama. We're right behind McDonald's or right across the street from the hospital. Number is 256-331-0123.
The Dependable Service Center.
Located in Tuscumbia, Alabama, the Alabama Music Hall of Fame honors Alabama's music achievers. You can even go into the recording studio and try out your talents as a singer. That's the Alabama Music Hall of Fame, located at 617 Highway 72 West in Tuscumbia, Alabama. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Give them a call at 256-381-4417. Check them out on the web at alamhof.org.
You hear me, people, when I say, well, let's all do something good today.